Got some bad news for you, and that's that there's some new Armenian comedian video up at krock.com or kevinamine.com. He's doing Christmas songs, and he has his shirt off.
Yeah. More is the bad news, though.
Well, no one needs to see that. Maybe that's good to have if you're trying to control your holiday eating. Knowing that Sam with his shirt off is on the internet somewhere might help you with keep your appetite down. Hmm. Ralph, I'm glad you're in here.
Why?
Because this is the time of year that we reflect back on the previous 12 months.
Yes.
And we're very excited for this break every year because it's the top 10 moments with.
Yeah.
Who's very excited?
All of us.
Everyone.
The kids.
All the kids.
The kids are excited.
They're snuggled in their PJs. Their visions of sugar plums are dancing in their heads.
And I know
they're
that
gathered around the hearth waiting to hear these moments with.
I know that I like to say that, hey, cut us some slack. We're doing, 25 hours a week of live radio. But even saying that and even the thousands of words that we speak per week, there's no excuse for how bad we are.
Oh, no question.
No, because really, when you get down to it, it's your job.
Exactly.
It is your profession.
Exactly.
It's like guy at McDonald's making McNuggets, serving up the occasional poisoned McNugget. And the people are dropping dead there by the Golden Arches. And he goes, yeah, I know, but look, I pump out like thousands of McNuggets every year. If a few patrons die, I can hardly be held accountable for that. I would beg to differ. I would say it is his responsibility.
Exactly. There's no excuse for this. So here we go, the top 10 moments with for 2014. And we start at number 10. The first appearance on the list is from me, you guys.
What?
Yes.
And now, a moment with Beam.
Thank you so much for listening to the world famous. What are we called?
That was a moment with Beam.
The world famous.
Does seem like that's a pretty basic thing I should have been able to know and say.
It's right on the wall.
For those who were worried this year that Kevin would not make the list.
I was concerned he wouldn't make it this
were
year.
Were there people worried
because
about that?
I couldn't remember if he had any moments.
He actually did. And
he had one? Oh, good.
Here's the one that comes in at number 9 when we were introducing a guest that we were very excited about.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Time to talk to Jake Gyllenhaal, about his new movie, Nightcrawler.
Nice job, Kevin.
I'm starting hockey.
That was a moment with Kevin.
And Kevin, isn't what's great about that is in your entire life, you had never referred to him as Jake Gyllenhaal before.
No, it's not a mistake that I make all the time.
Right.
Mm. I don't remember ever saying anything but Gyllenhaal. Mm. So I don't.
And it was because he was on the phone? You were just...
I don't know.
All right. Number 8, I'm so sad that she's not here, but Lisa May makes the list with a moment with. And you don't hear this happen very often.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Wasn't there a co-pilot? Well, couldn't the co-pilot get in the pilot seat and then she would get in his seat?
No, I don't know.
Did you run out of breath for that?
I did.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
take a breath.
She was trying to force it out, but there was nothing there.
Kevin does make a return for number 7. This one just happened a couple of weeks ago. We had in one of our finalists for Miss Double December. We were promoting the live broadcast that Friday where we crowned this year's winner, and Kevin forgot where we were going to be.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
But we'll see you tomorrow morning at the rock and roll slide bar. What's it called?
Leah, thanks for coming in. Thanks for the cake. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
That was a moment with Kevin.
All right, but I'm done, right?
Number 6 is also Kevin.
What?
Yeah, having a show business report here. And Kevin, I think, is unfamiliar with the expression that he's grasping for.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Clean house a little bit.
A little spring, spring cleaning? No, fall.
It's fall. Whatever kind of cleaning we need to do.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Maybe Kevin cleans in the fall.
Thank you, Ralph.
Everybody's familiar with fall cleaning, right?
Sure, we all have to get our fall cleaning done.
All right, we're halfway through our list of the top 10 moments with for 2014. Believe it or not, it's Lisa May again.
What?
No Ralph so far. This is the
stupid Ralph.
I'm sure I'll show up eventually.
Lisa May.
Not making mistakes and whatnot.
For somebody that she loves, it's hilarious to me that she could not get this name right.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
I don't know, Tatum Channing. I would watch that.
How about Channing Tatum?
Or that guy.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
And Tatum Channing.
You know how there are some things that you can't remember a time before they existed? Like the internet.
Right.
It's hard to imagine what the world was like before the internet, for instance,
you.
Right? It's just, it's changed everything.
Yes.
That's how I feel about the moment with it, number 4. Like, I can't believe it happened this year because I feel like I grew up worshiping at the altar of This Moment with Kevin.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say 1709? Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on. What, Lisa? What? I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah. 17. That wasn't last year.
It was in April of
how,
this year.
How is that? That feels like it was 3 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. It was April of this year.
Why are minutes changing? I still understand why minutes are changing.
Shut up, Ralph. I'm sure you're coming up.
Upon the clock to clock, the minutes don't change ever.
Now that you had some time to reflect, man, what do you think you were thinking there?
Honestly, you keep asking me that. If I had that answer, I would probably do it correctly the first time.
All right. Even though we heard Kevin at number 9 and we heard Kevin at number 7, we heard Kevin at number 6,
we're
heard
done.
Kevin at number
we're
5,
we're done.
We heard Kevin at number 4. We are up to number 3, and this would, by coincidence, happens to also be Kevin.
What?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He was driving 110 miles per hour in Florida and got pulled over by the CHP.
Okay.
And the guy pretty
now,
much...
Now, why were the California Highway Patrol... in Florida?
That is a great question. That's way out of their jurisdiction.
I never noticed that.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah. Number two is the monkey again.
Come on!
By himself, flying solo on this one. He's attempting to do a giveaway over a song intro. And I know the pressure's on because you've got like 22 seconds or whatever it is, however long the music plays before the guy starts singing. And Kevin goes into panic mode a little bit and then just shuts down.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, we have stuff to give away. We have a pair of VIP tickets to the Red Bull Global Rallycross, September 19th to the 21st. It's happening at the LA, at the Port of LA. If you'd like tickets and more info, you can go to this website, Red Bull Global Rally Cross.
Right. Start the song again.
I'm not happy with that. I don't feel like this is going well. I don't feel like the client's getting their money's worth.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I mean, it's a relatively simple task. Just
I can't do it.
Shut up, Ralph.
Please stop.
It hurts when I laugh.
Come on.
And,
but we're all on the
Now we're at number one. And
this Ralph, then.
Actually, Ralph didn't make it. I'm sorry. We do have one more, Ralph. And this is...
Come on,
this
now.
Is you're watching something, and as it's happening live, you realize, okay, this is history being made. I remember the morning that this
Shut
happened.
Up,
this is Kevin's 9/11 for 2014. 5:30 in the morning, we're on, and Kevin makes, I think, a very salient point about the topic we were discussing, and here's how it came out.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situations, or UFOs, you go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien, you go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Why would you guys guess that after the second half hour of that one, I wouldn't have at least, like, stopped and tried to catch
wrap
my breath?
Wrap it up at some point.
Why is there that instinct is not in me?
Oh, man.
Okay, explain to me exactly what I did wrong.
You're covering a lot of ground in that explanation, though, with the UFOs and the terrorists.
You're like a mental patient wearing a tinfoil hat so at that point, just rambling about this. Terrorists and aliens, and you should just be in a corner of a home somewhere, just making bubbles in your pudding.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the top 10.
You had a good year, man. You had a good year. Well done. Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame!
By the way, tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Tove Lo is going to be in studio performing live in town to do a couple of shows or so. She's going to be in doing Habits and another song for us. Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow. Dr. Drew later in the week. And the grand prize drawing on Friday for the Made in America grand prize. You can get the details and a chance to register for that at KREC.com.
Let's talk about your ass for a minute.
Okay, let's.
Mine? Can we talk about Lisa's instead?
Whoever's.
Yeah. Everybody's.
Everybody's.
Okay.
There are certain parts of your body that you do not want to injure. And that's one of them. Not because, well, I guess because, you know, you can't sit down for a long time. But it's also embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this when this came up in the meeting. I was thinking, it's weird that I like to think that we've evolved as humans being on the earth for hundreds of thousands of years.
Oh, that's cute.
But the truth is, if somebody has colon cancer, it's more embarrassing than if somebody has lung cancer, as if they have any control over where cancer is in their body. There is something about what's going on in your shorts region that just makes something awkward, sometimes hilarious, sometimes sad. What is it about that? Like, why haven't we evolved past that? Like, if somebody gets shot in the butt, why is that hilarious to us? But if somebody gets shot in the arm or shot in the foot, it's not.
I can't answer except to say that that is true. That is all true.
That's so funny.
I'm sorry. It is. It's funnier to get shot in the butt. And that's what happened at that MTV pre-party that Suge Knight was at.
Oh,
that's right.
When
shots... there were apparently, there was lots of gunfire. I mean, we talked to Harvey Levin yesterday from TMZ. Suge himself got shot six times. He was hit six times. So that tells you how many bullets were flying around that nightclub, right?
And there's remember yesterday when you pointed out it must have been because he's so fat that he's right. That he actually was able to take all those shots? I can't believe you would say that about Suge Knight, but whatever. That's on you.
One of the people who was at the party is a fashion model. Her name is Megan Hawkins. She was also on TMZ.com yesterday. She apparently was hit in the butt with a bullet at that party. She's in the hospital, and she posted photos, naturally, from, you know, on her social media accounts from the hospital, using a walker to get around. She says, "My ass took a 9mm, and I'm keeping it as a souvenir."
By the way, that... if you're going to get shot, I guess that's a place where not a lot of damage can happen, right? It's not like you get shot in the chest where
you get
your heart, your lungs, other
major arteries, right?
Not really, just fat. Yeah. I mean, it's really a good place, but at some point you do have to say to the emergency staff, "I got shot in the ass."
Well, I don't think we've ever done this phone topic before, but we're looking for ass injuries on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. We're looking for you ended up getting hurt in the butt. Now, are we specifically excluding sex injuries? I think we are, right?
I think we are. I think we're...
Unless you fell out of bed and got impaled on something. I mean, that would qualify.
Sure, right. But if it's just normal wear and tear, then we're not interested in those stories. But you hurt your ass. I don't know that we've ever done this topic.
Okay. We want your calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You hurt your ass. It's something you've been embarrassed about. You haven't needed to share it with anybody until now. But now it's time to let it out. Just call us and tell us about it.
Let it out.
Who was the Kevin and Bean intern that we had who ended up with an ass injury?
Her name is
Danny. What happened to Danny?
She fell out of a second story... and landed, impaled herself on the fence and hung there for, if I remember correctly, like an hour or something.
She impaled her butt?
She landed on her butt, and it went into her butt, and she hung by her butt for a long time. And then finally, the EMTs got there, and I think they had to bring the whole fence to the hospital with them. She was in Ripley's, believe it or not.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. You don't want that.
And I bet you're right, Kevin. I bet for the reasons you described that, I bet that's the best part of your body to have something like that happen. Because obviously if it goes through your chest, you know you've got heart and lungs and, you know, so many other things that can be damaged. It goes through your arm. I mean, you're probably never going to use that again if it gets broken that bad. I mean, I guess the ass is a good call.
So if bullets start flying, turn around?
Turn around and lift it up.
Out.
Yep. Face down, ass in the air. That's what you need.
Well, face down, ass in the air has been our motto on this show for years. All right, let's take a couple of calls here as they continue to come in at 1-800-520-1067. I can't believe we're looking for ass injuries on the program today, but let's see what we got. George is up first, Southgate, line 3. Hey, George, thank you for listening and thank you for calling. What happened to your butt, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, okay, so I used to dorm, and I told my dorm mate that... I have a problem rolling off the bed. I used to sleep the top bunk. Now, I rolled off my top bunk and fell straight on my butt and broke my tailbone.
Oh.
Now, the thing with that is that I didn't wake up until the next morning knowing that I had a broken tailbone.
Wait a minute.
Really?
Wait a minute. You fell out of the top bunk and broke your tailbone, which I've been told is one of the most painful injuries.
Yeah.
And you didn't wake up?
I didn't wake up.
Were you drunk beyond words?
Yeah, we kind of drank like crazy that night.
Yeah, because a heavy sleeper doesn't cover that.
So you didn't, you hadn't unpassed out yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do they do for a broken tailbone? I mean, is that the type of thing that they can put in a cast or something?
Nothing.
They sling it? Just what?
Just painkillers.
Painkillers.
You gotta, they give you a little pad that you just sit on hard surfaces and that's about it. Man,
were you passed out. Did you have a lot of alcohol?
I couldn't even sneeze without it hurting. Let's put it that way.
But you didn't wake up.
That is pretty remarkable.
You might have been close to death.
Yeah.
It's called tequila.
Right. Has the same effect on me.
Thank you, George. Appreciate that. Let's go to Antonio. He's in Torrance. He's got a workplace injury in the ass. Hi, Antonio. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I work in construction, and it was my lucky day one day. My coworker accidentally shot me in the butt cheek with a 2-inch nail from a nail gun. So I didn't realize it was there. I waited a day because it was a thin nail.
Wait a minute. So it hurt, but it didn't hurt bad enough that you thought it was still there, or what?
Correct. Okay. It was a finished nail.
Well, sure. People in Finland, they make nails.
What was he aiming at that he hit your ass instead?
Well, basically, I bent down, and he had the gun, and he had his finger on the trigger. So as
this
I
all
down,
sounds like gay code to me.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. Right? He had his finger on the trigger. You bent down. Right. Come on.
Sound good. But the best part is when I went in the hospital and I had 10 different doctors analyzing my butt cheek.
Yeah.
So
sure. We're going to need some help in here. If everybody could come in here.
Yeah, that was just they couldn't wait to share it with their Dr. Freds is all that was. All right. Listen, I'm glad you called. This is your last chance to come clean, though. You were on a construction site or you were at the Abbey? What was really going on?
No, I was at a construction site.
No, really working. Okay. Very good. Then we accept your call. Thank you so much. All right. Wow. The phones are packed, by the way.
Our listeners have hurt their asses.
They certainly have. 1-800-520-1067. What'd you do to your butt? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Shouldn't talk about it. That is Milky Chance. Milky Chance is the name of that band. It is. Milky Chance.
They've got to be rethinking that.
And the song is Stolen Dance.
They're German. I wonder if that means something in Germany.
I
wonder if there's some significance to that name that we don't understand because of the translation.
There must be, right?
Must be, right?
It could just be a terrible band name.
Could be, yeah. Right. Hey, recap highlights from the 66th Annual Emmy Awards coming up in a few minutes here on K-Rock. In the meantime, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Looking for your ass injuries. I know it sounds crazy to me, too, but you can't believe how many calls we have. Marcos writes in from Bellflower, "Hey, party people, so I'm buying at a gas station in San Diego. There's a drive-by shooting at the intersection, and the driver was shot in the head, lost control of his car, and drove into the gas station parking lot, hit my car, and pinned me between my car and the post that stops you from hitting the pumps. Needless to say, it was incredibly painful. I had to wedge myself out. I was okay and sent to the hospital. I had severe bruising on my ass, and I saw my car the next day and had left an ass impression in the car on its side. Yes, I was hit so hard that my ass left an ass print on the side of the car. As you can imagine, walking sucked for a while, and I couldn't sit down for about a week. Good time.
He must have a hard ass.
He must.
To dent a car.
All right. We got some great calls. Let's see how many we can work in. Let's go with James. He's in Torrance. He's on line 6. It's crazy with the calls we've already taken and the ones on hold, how many different ways there are to hurt your butt.
Yeah, it really is. And our listeners have done it all. James, hi.
Hey, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
How'd you hurt your ass?
Well, okay, so I'm surfing and I drop in on a wave. Little kid in front of me gets scared. He bails out his board tombstones. I jump off my board.
Oh, no.
Land on the nose of his surfboard. It impales me in the right cheek of my butt. Missed all the vital organs that went in. The doctor said it went in between 6 and 7 inches. He couldn't find the bottom with his finger.
Oh my God. But at least you didn't land in salt water right after you got speared.
I was in salt water.
I know, it's a joke. You're surfing, it's a joke.
It 6 or 7 inches into your butt.
That's what he figures. He couldn't find the bottom. He figures that's, you know, because the impalement from the cheek of my right cheek butt up into Almost, he said, almost to the spinal cavity, but it wasn't quite that far, he said, but it was close.
Did the little kid come up to you and say, you know, he's sorry or whatever?
That happened, it felt like I got hit by a truck, literally. It was all I could do to just crawl to the beach. And as I was stepping on the sand in the water, you could see blood prints around my booties in the sand.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
What was the recovery like for you, James?
It wasn't that bad, actually. I couldn't sit down for a little while, but when it was all said and done, it was like 7 stitches. And, you know, just besides having a sore ass and not being able to sit down, there was really no big deal. But
all right.
When it first happened, it was.
Sure. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Ashley. She's in Huntington Beach, and she is on line 4 joining us. Ashley, what'd you do to your butt?
Hi. So I was water skiing with my family, and I fell, and as I was waiting for my family to come around and pick me up in their boat, another boat was heading towards me, and they didn't see me in the water.
Oh, no.
So they, so to avoid getting killed by the other boaters, I started swimming down, and as I was heading down, my life jacket lifted me up, and the propeller of the other boat cut my butt.
Oh, dear.
Your butt got cut by a propeller of a boat.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
You didn't expect that happening that day when you just were out for some water skiing. How much damage was done?
I got 4 or 5 stitches, and like everyone else, couldn't really sit down.
4 or 5 stitches, by the way, is not terrible considering you got hit by a boat propeller, for God's sakes.
Wow. Yeah, I was pretty lucky.
Yeah, I guess.
Unbelievable. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Dustin. He's up next on line 8. He's in Long Beach. All right, so we had a couple in the water. Dustin is on a mountain. What are you doing up there, Dustin?
So I was snowboarding out in Colorado, I was going through some backcountry trails.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught a little bit of edge and collided full my whole ass to a tree. Didn't really know what was happening at first. Cut down the bottom of the mountain, pulled my pants down, realized I got stabbed by a tree branch right in my ass.
Oh, that hurt.
You sort of cut out a little bit. You're saying that you caught an edge of the snowboard and then that threw you into a tree?
Yep.
And then you didn't realize that there was a branch that had cut you?
No. It was still cold out. I mean, it was negative degrees out, so I was kind of just
stabbed
the snow and like kind of gathered myself. And I'm like, all right, I'm fine. I didn't break my legs, so at least that's good.
All right, at least that's good.
And then, well, I know the worst part of it, though, when I did pull down on my snowboarding pants to see what was going on, there's little pieces of flesh hanging out like little noodles.
Oh! That is not what you want.
No, that is the opposite of what you want.
That is not sexy.
Right. Unbelievable. Thank you, Dustin. Appreciate that. Let's do one more. This is Alex in Cyprus. Alex, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What happened, dude?
All right, this is a bit of an embarrassing story, as you know.
Well, they all sort of are because you hurt your ass.
All right, so I was at a party, and I got blackout drunk, not going to lie. And I woke up the next morning, sat down at breakfast, and said, ow. And I was scared. I didn't know what happened. I couldn't remember anything from last night. I didn't want to believe I had an ass injury when I got blackout drunk because that can, you know, open a big door to big other things.
Sure. Now you have to tell me.
Now you have to text everybody that's at the party and go, did one of you,
yeah, it's almost best not to know.
Oh, man, I spent a good week trying to bargain with myself saying, no, it was like that when I got there. You know, I got this because I was driving for a long time. Good. So after about a week, I broke down. I said, you know what, guys, can you tell me, please, what happened? They said that I was outside playing some beer pong. And there was a mattress on the floor, and I decided to run and jump onto the mattress, which was really thin and, you know, had holes in it. And
right.
I hit the concrete floor, and I fractured my tailbone.
Oh.
Ouch.
That's the kind of thing that sounds, when you're drunk, that's going to be the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it turns out not to be the best thing ever.
Yep. You envision that you're just diving into a big pile of feathers, and it's going to be delightful at the other end. You have no idea that the concrete is a half an inch below you. So,
I sort of remember that. I thought I was just going to bounce off of it like a cloud in some kind of like acid trip or something.
Right, sure.
Our listeners are the best. Thanks, Alex.
All right, I feel good about this. I think it's going to go well. One of our very
popular listeners. That's the wrong word. He's a frequent contributor. He's a frequent listener is the word I mean to. His name is Holmy in Newport Beach. We hear from him all the time on Twitter. Uh-huh. He's very excited listening to this radio right now this morning. He says, I cannot think of any downside to the 2014 Kevin and Bean voice idol. It is bulletproof. And I think you're absolutely right, Holmy. I don't see how this could go bad at all. So, Ralph, tell us what we need to do.
I'm going to be out next week. I got to go shoot a little acting gig. So I don't want to leave the show in a lurch. And I know I do a lot of the voices here on the Kevin and Bean show. So rather than not to have those bits, it's better to find somebody here amongst our own staff who can carry on with in my stead. Who can
and you think
fill in the gap.
And you think that Dave the King of Mexico.
Dave has a lot of talent. He's a talented guy.
Lisa May.
Yes, Lisa's lovely and talented. People love her. Bean,
but Ralph, don't you think that all these years that we've been working together, now 15 years you've been on the Kevin and Bean show.
Don't remind me.
If any of us could do voices, you would already know about
it? No. I think you guys just, it's the path of least resistance. You go to your strong suit naturally, but when pressed, when called upon, I think you can rise to the occasion.
What's my strong suit?
Well, you're
moment with creator.
You are half of the Kevin and Bean show. Your name is half of the Kevin and Bean show.
So my name.
We got that going for you.
All right.
Beer Mug, we've known he's talented for some time now.
Sure.
So I just think there's untapped potential here. I think there is a pool of talent lying just below the bedrock. All we need to do is just drill through deep enough, and then geyser. Just a geyser of talent. Just an oil derrick rig. Blast black gold just flying everywhere.
That's what you hope to accomplish.
It's gonna happen. Okay. That's what I'm telling you.
All right.
So what I've got the wheel here, the wheel of voices, and it's got a bunch of voices on it. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna call on each of you, and I'll spin the wheel, and whatever comes up, you just do that impression.
Okay.
You do that voice. You do that a voice, and then we'll just at the end we'll sort of gauge who did the best job, and that person will become the new Kevin and Bean. Character impression voiceover artist for the week next week.
Okay. All right. Got it. Ooh. Now, we, in the interest of full disclosure, we have no idea what's on the wheel.
Nope.
We have a meeting about this. We haven't rehearsed this. This is going to be as new to us as it is to the listeners.
Right.
So it's odd how secret Ralph insisted on keeping this.
Well, because it wouldn't be fair to anyone if any one of you knew what voice you were going to do.
Fairness.
Then you practice it.
And then we'd be so amazing.
And he's testing our improv skills,
exactly.
man.
Exactly. It's another thing. You know,
come on.
We don't write a lot of the sketches that we do on the phone and things like that. So you have to be quick-witted and things like that, so we see who's got what.
This is going to suck for me.
Should we start with Dave?
Let's
start with the King of Mexico. All right, Dave. Al Pacino. I want to hear your Al Pacino, Dave.
All right. Hoo-ah! Let's have fun. I'm going to be the voice guy next week. Hoo-ah! Look at that ass! Hoo-ah!
Ta-da!
That's pretty good. That's not bad, Dave.
Not bad at all. You're definitely one of the front runners, Dave. America loves
so far. He just had to go first. That's all. The rest of us might be way worse.
Okay, let's see how Lisa does.
Lisa,
right?
All right.
Put in the wheel.
What voice?
Larry Flint. Larry Flint came up for Lisa May.
Popular Hustler magazine publisher magnate Larry Flint.
For Lisa.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. Yes, I love my gold wheelchair. Wait, I hear the phone ringing. I better get it.
All right.
Yeah, Lisa. Woo.
Not bad.
Good performance. I like that. Let's go back to Dave.
Kevin, I think you're up next. You're up on the wheel.
Come on now. Make it easy.
William Shatner. William Shatner came to you, Kevin.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's easy.
Legendary Captain James T. Kirk of Star Trek fame.
Scotty. Bean.
Me up. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. The minimalist stylings of Kevin Ryder. You may have to put more than one word together if you're doing a voice fit. That's the only criticism I would give you, dog.
I put beam and me together.
You're a little pitchy, dog. Right, I'm just saying. Yeah. Let's go up to Bean, see how he does.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Ah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger to Bean.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
was that? Was that part of it?
No, I'm just getting ready. I'm getting ready for Arnold. All right, here you go.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Ah, it's me in the gym. Look at me working out. You're so puny. I'm so huge. I'm the governor. I will impregnate you.
All right.
Beer mug, you want to step up to the microphone?
Here it goes.
See what you got. Christopher Walken for you, Beer Mug.
Wow. Okay.
Kevin and Bean, it's so good to be hanging out with you today. I think I just pooped my pants.
There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That was Christopher Walken you were doing?
Christopher Walken.
Okay.
Wow. You guys were all so good.
It's hard to choose,
it
right?
It really is.
Did we find the guy?
Like, is there like a head-to-head competition in the end? Or
a playoff system?
I feel Al and I feel Arnold.
Yeah, that's
the most.
You know, Lisa, it's so funny. I have written down here, Bean and Dave.
Yeah. All right. Should we do
I don't want to win this. Yeah. I don't want to win this.
Head-to-head competition.
Yep.
Sudden death.
All right, let's spin the wheel again just for Dave and Bean, and we'll see what we come up with, all right?
All right, good.
I thought I was done. I thought I skated.
Dave, Homer Simpson to you, Dave.
Oh, no. What am I going to do?
You just throwing it now?
Why are you little? Bart, come back here.
It's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong.
Pretty strong.
All right, Bean, that's what you have to beat. That's what you're up against. You ready? You ready for the challenge?
Yeah, I'm ready for the challenge.
All right. Bean gets TV's Batman, Adam West.
TV's Batman. Oh, I love him so much.
I know.
Well, Ralph, I'm sorry you have to be...
Wait, you gotta finish.
I know what his voice I'm doing. Well, Ralph, I'm sorry you have to be out next week, but I'm looking forward to filling in, old chum.
Wow.
Winner!
I think Bean will be doing all the voices next week.
That was fantastic.
We found my replacement. Well done, Bean. Congratulations. I look forward to hearing all of your success.
Oh, dear God, no.
Coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll talk to a school district that is interested in keeping knowledge out of the schools. I think that's an interesting approach. Also, we'll talk to our Winter X Games 14 athlete for you, dating deal breakers, and funny man Kevin Nealon, all straight ahead. That's a lot of show. That may be too much for one Kevin and Bean program,
yeah,
I think.
I think so, too. First, though, Victor Fuentes, our favorite 911 call in a long time. I mean, this dude really eclipses even the woman in the Carl's Jr. drive-thru or whatever. It's not making her hamburger right.
Fire department operator 75, what's the address, please?
16121. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me.
16121 Harris.
Is it a house, apartment, or business?
It's a house.
What city?
In Compton.
What is the cross street at the corner of Harris Avenue?
Alondra.
What's wrong right now?
I don't know. I just want the ambulance to take me to the hospital, and that's it.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
19 years old. You're a male?
I'm a male, of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to check my head or my finger because I'm kind of cut.
You fell off of what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
Too much information, man.
Well, we need to get the information so we know what ambulance to send. You been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple.
All right, listen real carefully. We're on the way out to your house at 16121.
Yes. Hey, you don't got to bring all that siren and just come like quiet and
Oh, yeah, okay.
Pick me up and that's it. Turn to a memorial hospital.
That's where you want to go?
Yeah, just let me. I got insurance and all that piece of
shit. Oh, fantastic. They don't think they'll really care, though. They'll try to give you the best help they can.
All right, Holmes.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no.
Okay, good. Do you have any other injuries? Yesterday you said your hands are cut up.
Lip.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have any severe bleeding, like a real bad bleeding, or is it?
My fingers.
All right. Is that under control now?
Yeah.
Okay. How about broken bones? I feel like you broke anything.
Yeah, I feel my hand. Like, I can't move my fingers and
just try to sit still and don't move your hand at all because we want to x-ray to make sure it's all right.
And, all right, Holmes.
All right. How about amputated parts or impaled objects? Anything you cut off or anything still sticking in your skin? Like a, you know, like a piece of wood or glass or anything like that? Any nausea or vomiting? You think you're going to throw up at all?
No.
How about pale, cool, or sweaty skin? Like you're going into shock?
No.
Okay.
But I'm going to sleep and
well, sit there with the phone right now and wait for us to get there to help you out. If anything changes, just call us right back, okay?
All right, listen.
What's your name so we know who we're looking
for? Victor Fuentes.
All right, Victor. We'll be there in just a moment.
All right, listen.
Bye-bye. Fire department.
All right, there you go.
Look, I understand 911 operators have a script, but don't you think the guy would lead if he had amputated parts? He'd lead with that. He would bring that up before my hand hurts.
I have a 2x4 sticking in my stomach.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to tell you about that.
Yeah. So, Victor Fuentes, since we've been playing that 911 call, has become a little bit of a folk hero. But I understand you have an email from a listener who would like to hear more from Victor.
Yes. Dear Kevin and Bean, after hearing the 911 call of Victor Fuentes, I thought it might be great to hear Victor talk to your friend Rudy.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So that would be a Kevin and Bean instant request.
Listen up, everyone.
You instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean. Instant request.
All right. So first, let's say hello to Rudy. Hi, Rudy. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
What's up, dog? Hey, how you doing, Lisa May? What's up?
I'm good, Rudy.
And Victor Fuentes, are you there? Can you hear us okay?
Hello.
All right. Good. Rudy, meet Victor. Victor, meet Rudy.
Hey, well, Victor, what's up, man? I hear, like, Kevin and Bean told me you live in Southern California, fool.
Compton.
You live in Compton. All right, well, what's your address?
16121. No.
Hey, chill out, fool. Chill out, man. Hey, do you like the Raiders?
No.
Well,
what?
Do you like the Cowboys?
No.
Do you even like football, fool?
No.
Damn, man, you sound kind of mean. Have you been drinking?
Couple.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, speaking of drinking, dog, they got this new Budweiser that already has the lime mixed in it, and then it all has, like, chili peppers in it. It's pretty bomb, dog.
So much information, man.
Hey, man, chill out, boy. You're being kind of a dick. Hey, man, like, well, I'm going to be in town. I'm going to be near Compton. You feel like going to a club or something?
Like going to sleep and
damn, man. You kind of sound like a bitch. Are you even a guy?
I'm a male, motherfucker.
You know, to be honest, though, you're kind of funny, fool, so, like, maybe we can hang out a little bit later.
All right, Holmes.
By the way, my memory is, like, crazy. I've been smoking a lot of weed. What was your name again?
Victor Fuentes.
All right, fool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That nice. Sounds like offensive.
What, are you filling out a diary? What's going on?
Nope. Just taking down some verbatim words that came out of your mouth.
Oh, this isn't going to be a thanks for that info. Oh, come on.
Hey, don't say it. I won't write it.
Hey, let's revisit a topic we mentioned briefly in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, and that is beanheads. These are people who, predominantly young people, who don't have access to maybe high-quality drugs.
Any drugs.
Who are smoking coffee. I think we have a little bit of the report.
In today's health report, teens are getting their caffeine fix in a way never thought of before. They're smoking it. Coffee smoking is a dangerous new trend that's going viral among teens. We've heard of people eating coffee beans, but smoking them is a whole other thing. There are websites popping up online that will teach kids step by step how to roll their own caffeine stick.
Kids that need to be taught how to do that are idiots.
Everyone knows how to roll, right?
Everybody knows how to roll it. For God's sakes.
Well, when we started talking about smoking coffee yesterday, we ended up getting into a conversation after the show with members of our staff, including Omar in particular, who joins us in studio, about the things that you tried to smoke to get a cheap high when you were young. And we thought it might be fun to hear Omar's story and then maybe take some calls from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. What did you try to smoke or did you smoke to try to get a buzz on? That's the topic.
It didn't
on the
have
table.
To have worked. It's funnier right. if it didn't.
Yeah, it right. did, what I smoked didn't work. You know that banana peel, the like inner lining that kind of peels off?
Yeah,
the banana peel or whatever. Yeah. So when I was in high school, I heard if you dry that out, you crush it up, and then you stick it in a pipe and you smoke it, that you would get a high.
Smoke the banana peel.
Right. So we'd peel it all off, let it dry, you know, during the day.
That's a long process.
We crushed it up, stuck in the pipe, smoked it, waited for about a half hour, nothing.
You're like, come on.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. And then, I also smoked oregano by mistake.
What do you mean by mistake?
My buddy wanted to buy some weed.
Right.
And he got ripped off. And we didn't find out until later it was oregano. And, so we smoked it through a little Coca-Cola can because we couldn't afford a pipe at the time.
Of course.
And we light it up, and we're like, 10 minutes later, I'm like, you feel something? And we're like, oh, yeah, I think I feel something.
Yeah.
I feel something.
You just
oregano.
You just wanted to so badly.
So bad wanted to get high.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's funny. Dave, the King of Mexico, also in studio with us. Dave, you got something to share on this?
Yeah, well, there was this book called The Anarchist Cookbook, which gave you so many different ways to get high, and the banana peels were in there.
Right.
But I tried smoking peanut skins.
Peanut skin.
You know the little skin on the actual peanut, not the shell. Not the shell.
Okay.
But there's a little skin that's on the peanut.
Okay.
You get a bunch of them, you crush it up.
It takes even longer.
Yeah. Oh, it was, you should have seen us. It was horrible.
The amount of energy and effort and patience they put into getting high and never once put that into school.
Right. Hilarious. But it was so much cheaper than trying to buy actual weed.
Unless you count your time.
Yeah, but I used
but time.
Yeah, exactly. I had nothing but time when you're kids. Yeah, so we used a bong, and it's just a nice, just crisp, burning sensation.
Oh, no.
That just kills your throat.
No high at all,
and,
huh?
No high at all.
No cheap high quick death?
Uh-uh.
Huh. I can't even imagine how labor intensive it would be to pull the skins off of peanuts to try to smoke. I mean, that just sounds like the worst idea ever, Dave.
And you're going like balls out because you're all, I'm going to get so high.
This is going to be so rad.
It's going to be worth it.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Ricardo real quick. Then we got to take a break, but we have plenty of room for your calls. You smoked what? That's the question on the table here on the Kevin Beachel. 1-800-520-1067. Ricardo, thanks so much for calling, dude. What happened?
I smoked cinnamon and nothing happened. Then I tried nutmeg and I got so high.
Wait a minute.
Nutmeg?
No. Wait a minute. So you smoked cinnamon and you got nothing?
Yeah.
Then you went nutmeg and you got high?
Yeah.
On nutmeg?
Yeah.
You know what? There is something about nutmeg, and if you were to, whatever that's from originally, if you were to eat it, I think it's actually poisonous.
Good?
You mean the plant or something?
Yeah. So good?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I kind of remember reading something like that.
What did it feel like, Ricardo, compared to, say, weed?
I'm so high.
Nothing like weed.
What was
it like then? What was it? What was the sensation? Because I might need to get some nutmeg.
I just felt alert. Like, I took a walk. Sex was good.
That's not high. That's... No. You can walk and have good sex without smoking nutmeg.
Sounds like you had a cup of coffee is what it sounds like.
Well, I get high off of weed and have great sex.
So all right. Okay, you know? Then take it easy.
Yeah, easy with the attitude.
Yeah, if you smoke nutmeg, you could get a LSD effect.
And as little as 0.2 ounces could lead to convulsions and 0.3 could cause seizures.
Let's do it.
All right. Seizures.
No, all right, Ricardo. Thanks for the call. Andrea, you hang on. And Andy and Jasmine and Paul, this is right in our listeners' wheelhouse. What'd you smoke? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Kevin and Bean, while at YMCA camp at Big Bear, me and a bunch of other campers attempted to smoke Lipton tea bags. It was horrible, made the entire room smell like really bad skunk weed, and we all had horrible coughs afterward. Not my proudest moment. We're talking about what you tried to smoke to get high. Some people right now are smoking coffee. That's been in the news lately, but I know our Kevin and Bean listeners can outdo that. Let's go to Bobby. He's on line 6 to get us going, because Kevin, when you're in jail, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Oh, well, can't you get drugs in jail?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, this is me.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, no, we weren't able to get drugs. I worked in the kitchen, and people were, like, stripping the corn husks off the corn and drying out the hairs. And
what does that do? Does it get you high?
No, it didn't. We actually rolled it in Bible paper because we didn't have any other paper, and it was disgusting. Like, cigarettes on a whole different level. It did not get us high whatsoever.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
You're in jail. You think you finally figured something out.
Right. You think, hey, at least I'm working in the kitchen. I got access to some stuff, but no, not so good.
No.
Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Andy. He's up next. He's on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? Lisa Mann?
Hello.
You smoked what?
Well, hey, anyways, when I was in high school, we laced cigarettes with toothpaste, and we tried to smoke that. We got to dry it out and then smoke it.
Cigarettes with toothpaste. Why?
Yeah, try to get a buzz or something, but it just tasted like a menthol cigarette. Nothing really happened.
Yeah. Hmm.
Is that all of these I'm taking for granted? Somebody else told you it might be a good idea? Like,
yeah, you know, you're just trying to get high at school and stuff, and just trying to figure something out. And I also did the banana peels. I also did that, too.
And what kind of success did you have with that, Omar? Not so much.
Nothing at all.
Just yeah.
Tastes like a menthol cigarette.
Okay. Maybe, you know, like every meat you've never had before tastes like chicken. It sounds like to that guy, to Andy anyway, everything you smoke tastes like menthol, I guess. Let's go to Brandon. He's on line 5. He's up next on K-Rock.
Hi, Brandon.
Hola. Can be in this What's going on?
Hello.
What did you smoke?
I smoked catnip one time.
Catnip?
Seems logical.
It works for the cats. You might as well try it, you know?
Sure.
But wait a minute. What do you mean it works for the cats? Do they get high?
Well, it drives them wild, you know, up the wall. So you never know.
Okay, so you smoked catnip. How was that?
It tasted like a dirty sock. Good.
That's quite an endorsement. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. On Facebook, Kevin and Bean Facebook's page, Renee writes in, I tried to smoke hollow twigs from a tree. Because they were hollow, I was able to inhale smoke. All I did was get me nauseated, and all I tasted was burning wood. Now that I'm older, I think back to that day, and I ask myself, why the hell did I do that?
Yeah, because it is burning wood.
Right,
of course. Exactly. That's what it would taste like.
All right, how about, let's go to Tony. He's on line 8. He's smoking something I've never even heard of.
Hey, Tony.
Good morning, Pie Bus Table. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
What did you smoke?
Heavenly Blue Morning Glory seeds.
Morning Glory. Is that that's a flower?
It's a flower, yeah. It's actually a very nice flower, but in fact, untreated. Heavenly Blue Morning Glory seeds. So
all right.
we went to the nursery, you know, about like, well, if you eat them, they give you an effect like a, you know, like a mushroom effect.
Oh, okay. All right. And did that work?
It's a natural high. Well, so we went to a nursery, got the packs, crushed the seeds, smoked them. You know, it altered you definitely. I mean, it felt like, you know, we felt something off of it, but I think the headache coming down off of it was even worse than that.
Yeah, that's right. Bad.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, you'll get a sensation drinking lighter fluid. It doesn't mean that it accomplishes the goal of getting high. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Tony. It's unbelievable how many different things our listeners have smoked. Look at Andrea. She's on line 1.
Yeah, these.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
What did you smoke?
When I was in 7th grade, my friends and I tried smoking raisins.
Raisins?
Lisa, is that your worst nightmare?
I hate raisins.
What? Lisa hates raisins. Why did you? Somebody told you it would give you a high?
Well, there was a show on MTV at the time called Clone High, and it was a really terrible show when I think back to it. But they decided that they were going to try to spoof drugs and peer pressure and stuff like that with smoking raisins, so everyone was smoking raisins, and my friends and I thought it was such a good idea. Like, it would have to work. Why would it not? If they're going to have it blatantly on
how
MTV.
Would you, wait, how would you assume it would have to work?
It was on TV, Kevin.
How did it work?
It didn't really work.
Didn't really work.
No, nothing from you. All right, nice try. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Kyle. He's on line 7. And here's why Kyle is our people, because he smoked this on a dare.
All right, that's the only acceptable reason so far.
Yes.
Hi, Kyle.
Morning, Kevin Bean. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello.
What was the dare?
Well, it was about 10 years ago. I was hanging out with a bunch of friends. We had already gotten really high and picked up some McDonald's. So my friend made the joke, haha, wouldn't it be funny to smoke a chicken nugget? And I said, I'll do it. So I crumbled it up, put it in the pipe, and smoked it.
Smoked a chicken McNugget. And, but you didn't even, they didn't even tell you, like, this will get you high. Like, most of the other callers at least got that perception from somebody, right?
We were already pretty messed up, and I kind of figured, hey, look at me, I can do this, and none of you can't. So I went with it. It just gave me breathing problems and maybe lightheaded, but other than that, no, there wasn't really any.
Did you lie and tell them this is awesome, you guys should all do it?
No.
Come on!
What a waste of a good chicken McNugget, as far as I'm concerned. Kyle, we appreciate the call. We're going to clear the lines now, change topics here, and look ahead toward this Saturday night at the Shrine. It's the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2014. You want tickets up close in the Party Bus section. VIP reception with the morning show, limited edition Party Bus section t-shirt, and VIP parking. If that sounds like fun, we're looking for contestants to play a game. 1-800-520-1067. Win your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014 Party Bus section next on K-Rock.
and Bean's Breakfast with Jack White.
K-Rock.
We are in the Red Bull sound space here at K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show. Exciting day for us today, Kevin.
Why is that?
Because we've been wanting to do this breakfast forever.
Right,
today
breakfast.
Is the day, ladies and gentlemen. Jack White is here.
Jack White.
That is the sharpest outfit anyone has ever worn inside the building here at K-Rock. Seriously, you look like you're in the Time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. How are you?
Well, welcome, Jack. Happy record release week. How's it been for you this week?
It's been a while. It's whirlwind. We're playing, you know, three shows in L.A. right now, and I think three shows today right now, and we're in New York, you know, I think 30 hours ago, so I'll sleep at the end of the week, I think.
Yeah, next week you're going to just try and catch up?
It's feeling good. It feels good. Everyone's so energetic right now. It's a good time of the year, isn't it?
I know this record you spent a little bit more time on than you have on some of your past records. Does it screw with your head at some point when you do a song and then months go by and it's still not out, and do you still like it and you got to revisit it, and how's it all work together as an album? Is it quite a process when you spend a year doing an album to get everything lined up the way you want it before you finally release it?
Yeah, I think the first time I felt that was when we did I was in a band called The White Stripes, and we did an album called White Blood Cells, and that came out, and we went in and recorded our next album, Elephant, and really fast, like in 10 days. But Blood Cells from before that was still selling so well, they wouldn't let us put it out. So that sat in the can for a year, and we were sitting there waiting to put it out for over a year. And then, but the song still felt good a year later on that one. We got lucky with that one. But I could imagine, yeah, some things you get so far away from. You know, so hard for me to listen to a record I made like 3 years ago. It's very hard. You have to like let some time go by.
How long did it take for this one, for Lazaretto?
This one took 2.5 days.
So that is a long time for you.
It is.
Usually you do 40 songs in that amount of time. You're slow. I never heard the word Lazaretto before until I was recently reading a book on the history of the Black Plague. And that word...
Oh, you're the other guy.
That word came up. And my understanding from the way it was presented in the book was that's where they sent all the people with the plague to die, basically. It was like a hospice or a quarantine or something like that. Is that the meaning of the word as you understand it? And why did you name the album that?
I guess it has a couple of meanings. One of them was a quarantine island. That's the definition I had heard years ago, is a quarantine island. So that I just had written it down. I thought, oh, I really like the sound of that word and the look of that word. I like the way it looks even. I don't know. Just sort of you try to collect those words here and there when you're a songwriter and you work on things like that. So, at the end, I was going to call the album Wit of the Staircase, but I thought it was too complicated, too much of a mouthful to say that name. That was a French phrase about... when you think of the perfect retort at the end of an argument as you're walking up the stairs. The Wit of the Staircase, but Lazaretto is a little easier to say.
How many notes do you have of just interesting...
Well, there's only like 12 on the
interesting
piano.
Interesting-looking words?
Yes. How many notes are on a piano?
No, not on the piano. How many notes have you taken of words that you find interesting or that look cool? I've not heard of that.
Yeah, I don't really keep a journal anymore, but I write them down, or I'll look them up, and I'll save it. If it's a computer, I'll save that, or I'll write it down on a sheet of paper when we're working on songs. And then, but if it's a phrase, I have to sing it and play a different instrument, a piano or a guitar, and try to memorize it that way, or I'll forget it. I usually do forget half of them.
Do you write it on napkins at a restaurant or whatever?
Sometimes. But a better thing is to do just to hum it, give it a melody, and then I usually remember it.
This is the voice of Jack White here on the Kevin Bean Show. It's Breakfast with Jack White in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. I'm fascinated with so many things about the way you work, Jack, particularly songwriting. One of the things I've heard you say in the past is you are not a guy who can write an album if it's not due for a year. You're a guy who needs a deadline. You're a guy who, I got studio time booked tomorrow, I better write a song. So when you sit down with that kind of pressure, what gets you going? I mean, is it a blank piece of paper, or do you sit down and start tooling around on an instrument, or how do you even get started to write a number?
If you stick yourself in a corner and you have to – I like to stick myself in a corner where I have to fight my way out. Sometimes in the studio I'll even tell the band I have a song, and they think that I have a song, but I don't have one.
So you lie to them. Yeah.
But if I told them I don't have a song, then their minds will be, oh, okay, and then they might even think to help write it, you know. But if you don't want that scenario if you're songwriters in certain cases, because you, for me, I'm trying to get in a corner where I'll have to figure out my way out of this problem, and that's a technique I've used a few times.
You ever find yourself in that corner? Put yourself there and you can't figure out a way out?
Yeah, I did that the other day, and it turned out that it was just a closet in my house.
Oh.
So, Is there a muse? Is there some sort of inspiration, some sort of divine touch? Where does it come from, do you think? Or does that take the magic out of it if you try to guess?
You know, I think the assumption is when you really present things to people and it looks a certain way, it has a presentation that, you know, it's all about control or being a control freak or things, words like that. But you really, I think it's a bad place to be when you're writing a song, is to feel as if you are in control of the song. I mean, it's very ridiculous and egotistical to think you're actually the one in control of what's happening. I mean, maybe some people can get an ego buzz from that, like I wrote this song, but I never feel that way. I always feel like you're just an antenna and you let God in the room and let something happen. And you put all the pieces in the place and then it starts to happen on your own. You're just sort of a conduit or a director or a vessel or something like that. And then things start to happen. But if you ever start to think this song happened because I controlled it and I made it happen, it's not really what's going on there.
See? Let's hear it for being humble. Jack White is here. Breakfast with on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll take a quick break. Mr. White is going to be performing for us this morning, and we'll include your questions when we return right after this on K-Rock.
You mean like a big breakfast machine?
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack White, world famous K-Rock. K-Rock.
It is, I don't know, Breakfast with Jack White. Love it. You should never be asked to play rock and roll before noon, by the way, Jack. So thank you in advance for what you're about to do. We very much appreciate you being here. The new album, Lazaretto, is out this week, by the way. Everybody buy it already? Now, Jack, are you personally offended if every one of these people did not buy it on vinyl? Is that an insult to you? I feel like it might be.
No, I bought it on iTunes this morning. So
yeah. I bought it on CD form, and I was like, I don't know if Jack's going to be happy about this.
So that's cool. You don't care how we buy it as long as we buy it, right?
No, I think all formats are cool. I mean, it's all about where and when, you know? I think we said some phrase a year ago, something like, you know, digital in the car, vinyl in the bedroom, you know? Just a twist on some other phrase, I think.
You grew up buying vinyl records?
I did, yeah, and cassettes too, but vinyl records. Remember kind when cassettes used to have that long plastic thing that was about 14 inches long, so you couldn't steal it?
That was great for the environment. That was.
Really good, really good.
What kind of a record collector were you? Did you buy a lot of records? Were they handed down from your parents? How did it work for you as a kid?
My brothers and sisters had a pretty big record collection, and my parents did too. They were into a lot of, you know, Nat King Cole and 1940s and 50s music, and my brothers were into rock and roll and country music, and so there was a lot of records around the house. You know, all the Beatles and Rolling Stones records were easily available in the house, but I didn't get into punk records and things until I was a teenager on my own.
Tell us about recording an album. I think you just did with Neil Young and in what looks like a phone booth. Tell us about that. Like, how did you come up with the idea? How did you sell it to Neil Young?
That's a long story, but I'll try to make it fast. I was, for about 10, 15 years, I've been looking for an old recording booth. I'd read about them, heard about them, and I always thought when I was younger I was going to find one. We went on a tour somewhere. Oh, we'll see one in Australia or in Europe or something. I've never saw one ever, even one that was broken. And I went down a lot of blind paths. I went to, like, you know, empty warehouses. A guy said he had one, and it wasn't. It was a pinball machine or something, you know. So anyways, I finally found one through these coin op machine collectors, and I bought it, and we refurbished it for about a year and a half, and we got it going. And when we debuted it on Record Store Day at Third Man Records, that day, Neil Young just happened to come by through Nashville, and he has this electric Lincoln car. He's making an electric car. He's going on a tour of America in it. And he just stopped by, and it was nice to see him. We both have electric cars. I have a Tesla, and we were going to talk to each other about that in his film. And when he was there, I was telling him about the booth, and a kid came in, and there was a curtain, and a kid came in and recorded one of Neil's songs in the booth. And when a kid walked out, Neil peeked his head out.
That's weird.
Freaked him out.
and he just said, I got to come back and record in here. And a couple months later, he called me and goes, hey, I want to come and do my new album in the booth. Well, I said, I'm not going to stop you.
help me understand, in an age when everybody is trying to make advances, help me understand the beauty of
analog in the old days. Because I'm not trying to be a smartass.
No,
like,
for
I don't
sure,
get
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's like a sort of a thing. If you see a black and white photograph, it takes on an air of romance because you have to concentrate and imagine so much of it that the materials that aren't present there. It forces your brain to sort of get involved in the scenario. If you listen to a 1920s, you know, like a Al Jolson record or a Charlie Patton record, I could see it turning off a lot of people. It's very crackly and you can't hear what they're saying half the time. But if you can get your mind set into that idea, it becomes incredibly romantic. So this is a night almost like how you would hear if Neil Young recorded under the same conditions as Jimmy Rogers or young Hank Williams. This is how they would have recorded it. And in a sense, that record, you're getting as close as you possibly can to Neil Young because he did, you know, he wrote a letter to his mom in heaven in the booth. That's the first track of the record. I've never seen something so personal from him. So if you can get your mind past the ideas, you can get very even deeper into something, I think.
Yeah, you kind of strip away a lot of the things that stand between you and the artist with all the technology and everything. I see what you're saying. Let's go to Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, who's here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Breakfast with Jack White. Dave, you got our first question guys. From the audience. Who's it going to be? All right. I'm here with Jackie. Jackie, go ahead.
Hi. Okay, so Jack, you mentioned in previous interviews that some of the lyrics on the new album come from various one-act plays that you wrote when you were 19. Mm-hmm. Would you ever consider writing a play or a movie for yourself to star in?
Yeah, there's one I was working on called The Jack White Story. That
I don't think you're right for that.
It's in pre-production now. It's about half done. A little less than half done. No, I would like to do that to answer your question, Jackie. I would love to do that. I've done that a bunch, and I would like to work more on films and plays in the next few years, actually, when I get tired of this music. Hoo-ha. Just kidding.
Dave, let's do one more for right now.
Oh, this is Alex. Alex, go ahead.
All right, so I know that you've collaborated with a lot of different artists. So are there any artists that you would want to collaborate with that you haven't already worked with before, and why?
Well, there's some people that, you know, I was hoping to meet and I never got to because they passed on, like Captain Beefheart and George Jones and people like that. I never got to see live and never got to meet them. And that's too bad. Nowadays, we've been kind of, in the last year, I've kind of worked with a couple of people. We did a live album with Willie Nelson at Third Man Records, and that was someone I really wanted to work with. And there's a lot of every week there's a couple of new people coming up that are doing new things. And the good thing about Third Man Records is they come and we get to do things like that. We get to work on a Blue Series record, a single with them, or a live album for them. But I can't think of another name right now other than those people. Sorry.
You worked a little with Jay-Z, Kanye.
Yeah,
you were
right,
talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah. Third Man recording artist Jack White is here. Who wants to hear a little live music this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show? Play it, Jack!
This song is called Just One Drink.
That right there is how it's done. Breakfast with Jack White here on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll be right back with more.
Would you like some breakfast?
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack White, the world famous K-Rock.
It is Breakfast with Jack White. We are back. Jack, we're so happy to have you today. We really appreciate you coming in this small room. I don't know what it holds, 200 people or something like that. Do you enjoy playing little places like this? Do you like playing bigger places? What's your...
Yeah, man.
You can actually make eye contact.
I'm exhausted.
Well, we didn't give you much room on this stage, I will tell you that. This is about as, this must take you back 15 years to play a room this small.
Yeah. I like it, man. This is like the stage at Third Man. It's about this size. These are the best kind of stages to be in. When you're pushed together as a band, my studio is like that too. It's very small and you know, gets everyone to work together. If you get into a larger spaces and people are working in a studio, the bass player is like 20 feet away. You're not really in the same mindset, but if you're all, you know, locked together, I think it's a better environment.
On this tour that you're doing for Lazaretto, are you still have the two different backing bands, the one all male, one all female?
No, I don't have that this time because the schedules have been so crazy with all the musicians. They all have their own things going on. And
we didn't get a chance to ask you at the time that you were doing that how that happened. Like, what was there a difference in energy between which band you picked that night? How did you decide which band you were going to go on with that night?
When I recorded my last record, Blunderbuss, it was just a recording technique I had one day. So how about tomorrow it's just all female musicians? Let's see and record the exact same song we did today with all the male musicians. Let's just see if something happens. I don't know. Maybe it means nothing. Maybe it's not. What if we had all 75-year-old musicians tomorrow? What would that do?
Seven-year-olds.
Yes. Exactly. You know. So recording the same song with different people, I never had really done that while you're working on an album, so I thought I'd try that. And it was really interesting. And it has nothing to do with sexes or the group as a whole. It starts to come down to individual players are just so different from each other that you get different intonations. But, you know, the mood changes. If you have a room full of, you know, gorilla guys in a room and you bring one girl in who's just standing there holding a coffee or something and watching, it changes everybody's attitude in the room. You know, if I bring my mom in and have her sit down while we're playing, we're all going to act differently too, you know. So it's you can do all kinds of tricks to make everybody in the room change their attitude to the song.
And you believe a lot in chemistry with a band. I mean, you guys improv as you go. Your musicians are talented enough to just watch what you're doing and keep up, right? And you follow them sometimes. I mean, it's kind of like jazz in a way where you put different people together in a room and it's not going to go the same way every time.
Yeah, jazz, is that like a new website or something?
Right, yeah. Jazz.com.
Okay.
Check it out. Breakfast with Jack White. We go back to the crowd now. Dave, the King of Mexico, is out there with whom?
I'm here with a familiar face, our buddy Stryker.
Stryker!
Hey, everybody.
K-Rock Zone.
I love Lazaretto, so I want to geek out about that song for a minute. My question is this. It goes like dun, 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 dun. And that's like kind of goes through the entire song. It's like the backbone of the whole operation.
Could we hear some more of it, please?
Nope, that's okay. All I do. But that part of the song, like sometimes I get laser focused and I just hear that when I listen to the song, except like at 2 minutes it slows down. I would just like to know the inception of that song and that beat that goes all the way through. Like I feel like that could be on a hip-hop artist that did it in the 80s or some like psychedelic thing. How did that song come about musically for you?
It was an experiment. I heard about a songwriter writing where you listen to other music and think about it for a second and then erase that from your mind and then write the song immediately right then. And the song I had used to get me in a different spot was Cha-Cha-Cha by MC Light. I don't know if you know this song. And so I was listening to Cha-Cha-Cha and La Banda listened to it. Okay, listen to it. Now everybody forget about it. And now here's the bass line. And I told the bass player, these are the notes, blah, 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 and play that. And then, you know, so we're sort of in the same, you know, neighborhood is in the same vibe because you just got out of listening to that intensely, but you're not copying it. You're not trying to copy it or rip it off or anything like that. You're just trying to be in that moment. And some of that, I heard about other songwriters, you do, you actually play along with a song, play along with an old song. The whole band plays along and then you take the other song away and you continue playing, you know, and then you just change chords as you go on. That's another technique. It's some folk process people use. So that's how I got to Lazaretto.
It feels like you're making life as difficult as possible on yourself. Like you're really pushing yourself in every way you can figure out.
Well, if somebody says, you know, today, like, I really like that song, like he just said, I mean, now I can say to myself, I'm proud of that. Because if I had said, oh, yeah, well, I mean, we ripped off some other thing, and engineer worked on it on a computer for 2 weeks, and I was in Jamaica the whole time. I don't even. Yeah. But thanks. Yeah. You know, I want to feel like if you told me, I love that song. I know how it was done, so now I can appreciate it more.
Let's hear Lazaretto right now. What do you guys think? Title song from the new album, available everywhere now. Jack White.
Breakfast with Jack White,
the world famous K.
You'll get breakfast in 10 minutes.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Breakfast with Jack White,
the world famous K Rock.
We're back. It is breakfast with Jack White. Who I think it's safe to say is about to tear this space down.
Yes, I think so. I think so.
By the way, you can see this. I appreciate everyone that's listening to this on the radio right now, but you can see this performance. It's streaming for 24 hours from the Red Bull Soundspace at krock.com, so you can watch it over and over and over again to your little heart's content. Jack, a couple more things, and then we'll get back to some more questions here in the crowd. Seven Nation Army is a song that has become so much bigger than you. 100 years from now, they'll still be playing it at college championship games. Tell me when you realized that that song had made the jump to some sort of a worldwide consciousness.
It had become a
a soccer anthem at some point years ago in Europe, and a friend of mine had went on his honeymoon and said on the beach there was a ship in the bay, and the people on the ship were chanting Seven Nation Army. The passengers on the ship were chanting it. It was a cruise ship, and he was sitting on the beach, and he had to write to me a letter and say, I can't believe what just happened. That this song, it was just a few years ago. And then that year, the president of Italy, because Italy won the World Cup, the president of Italy chanted the song from a balcony in Rome.
What the hell? That's never happened to me.
Yeah. So those were a couple of moments where I thought, I think maybe the song is connecting with people.
Are you surprised of all songs that one became the thing?
Yeah, very strange.
You don't know when you write it.
Not at all. I remember my friend was with me when I wrote it at a sound check in Australia, and it was. I asked him, "What do you think of this riff?" And he was just like, "It's okay." And and further, I was trying to write a song with no chorus, to drive you in and hook you in as much as you can, but not have a chorus in the song. The song has no chorus. It's very hard to have a popular song that way. And also, the third thing I was crazy about is when we were releasing that album, the record labels, nobody wanted to put that out as a single. It was on nobody's mind.
Which can you...
But it's funny to think that way. It wasn't an obvious choice.
Rolling Stone magazine did a reader poll not long ago about the best Jack White songs. People could pick from anything. Their number one was Ball and Biscuit. Wow. That was the fans' favorite, overwhelmingly. Does that surprise you? And what's your favorite?
What's my favorite? That is surprising. That's very, very surprising. That's such a... I've always had a big fondness for that song, though. And my favorite, I really don't know. I have a few that I really am fond of. A song I wrote called Cut Like a Buffalo with a Dead Rider. That's one of my favorites. And Same Boy You've Always Known is a White Stripes song I really like a lot. There's a few that really connect with me. Sometimes I don't play them for months. I think we've only played that one time on this whole tour, those songs, but... Save them for a certain moment.
That's right. All right, let's do one more question from the crowd. Dave, who's up next, please?
It's Andrew.
Sup, Jack, dude? I have your luggage.
It'd be so great if you said that.
Right? It's right here.
He is wearing the vest and a tie.
So I just need a validation tag, please.
No problem, yeah.
My question is a little bit existential, I guess. What song do you think played the moment you were born, and what song would you like played at your funeral?
I have the songs I'd like to play at my funeral written down somewhere. I told somebody about it in the envelope, but I can't remember exactly all. But I can't tell you. It would be too personal to tell you. But the song that I was playing when I was born was probably a Roger Miller song, because my parents are big Roger Miller fans. They love King of the Road and things like that. Kansas City Star. He was a big thing with my parents. It was probably Roger Miller.
Thank you, sir. Good question. Jack White is here. Breakfast With, by the way, we've got one more segment coming up. And how about another song before we go to break? What do you think? Yeah! Here's Jack.
This is a song I'm going to play now from our new record. It's called Temporary Ground.
Return on home with answers. A sad existence glue is now all the
Show in the Red Bull Sound Space. Breakfast with Jack White, ladies and gentlemen. Got time for one more segment with Jack. By the way, Jack, was there anything you wanted to talk about today that we haven't asked you about? Anything on your mind?
What have you been doing?
Just being excited about this. Just wait for this. We're so happy. How do you like Nashville, by the way? I know you've been there a number of years now.
Yeah, you
grew up in Detroit, lived there your whole life, and then all of a sudden Nashville. Big change?
Yeah, it's wild. I loved it. I moved there and I didn't know anybody. So now it's a huge family of people there. And there's so many bands that are there now that are cooking. And it's, you know, there's the Etts and Kings of Leon and Black Keys. There's so many people who live in the town and that are totally different from the country world, because before when I got there, it was just country. That was great for me. It felt really comfortable for me.
Why did you go there?
Because it felt comfortable, so I could do what I needed to do in a town that was sort of maybe more focused toward the commercial side of country music. Sort of feel like I could just kind of do my own thing and not have to be bothered. I also don't feel that comfortable in big cities to work in, because I feel sort of claustrophobic. So it's just a right-sized town. And now it's just blossomed. The huge family that we have at Third Man Records is blossomed. So many people have moved there and that I know from Detroit and from London, and we start off with two people at Third Man Records. Now we have, I think, 30 people working.
Are you going to have to leave it behind again and move to someplace smaller?
Yep, your house.
Speaking of Third Man, as a guy who was a recording artist for a long time before you started running your own record label, has that changed your opinion of how the business works?
You can't help but be changed all the time about what's going on. If you involve yourself in actually the physical record making and the actual process of the presentation of it, You think about every single moment of it, you know, what what picture is underneath the CD card and what kind of logo's in the corner and how it's actually made at the factory. All those things, you start to involve yourself in. It was really beautiful because the whole product becomes a piece of art that's you and a group of people made together from scratch. And you're working in little components all the way up instead of just sort of only doing music. I mean, some people like to do that, only sing or only write or only perform. And I think my brain's been mechanical from when I was younger and about being in the mechanical process. So I get more out of that, I guess.
As a business, though, is it able to be profitable? Can you make a living running a record label in 2014?
Yeah, shockingly, it does. I mean, everything we do at Third Man, every single idea seems to be a bad idea. I don't know. It's just like, I mean, for making money, it seems like a bad idea, but it's something that we want to do, and it accidentally somehow works out. I think like what we just did with the new album, someone was holding up the Ultra LP. We put so much work and effort into that, and time and money into it. For something that really doesn't make it worth more money to us, or you know, we don't charge twice as much for it or anything like that, I guess it's just something we want to exist, and somehow it connects with people. I think if you do something that you are passionate about, other people will come to it, and they'll want to share it instead of you going out and trying to sell it to them. If you're concentrating on making something beautiful, I think some people will just kind of wander over and see what's going on.
If you're talented, which you are.
Well, thank you. I
love that you're keeping the art in the music business, though. I mean, that's really great. You know what I mean? All right, we're almost out of time here. How about another song from Jack? Red Bull Sound Space, Breakfast with Jack White, The Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock.
A Breakfast with Jack White. How great was this? How great was Jack to come
so
with you this morning?
The album is called Lazaretto. It is available everywhere. Everyone listening, you must, it's not a request, it's an order. You must immediately buy, download, whatever you have to do, get yourself some Lazaretto. And Jack, you're going to be out on tour this summer. You're going to be playing America this time around. It's going to be fun. Great to see you.
Thank you very
really
much.
And super fun.
I want to say thank you to everybody who came here today. It's really nice.
Thank you. All the best to you, my friend. Jack White, one more time.
Take our sweet little time about it.
Is 8:40.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Come on.
Here's the thing.
Again.
We have two features
for Bean.
Always, because you force us. We have two features for Bean now because of his Asperger's. One is thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Right.
The other is the old school thanks for that info, Bean. So while you're listening to commercials or a song, perhaps you're in your car, you're stuck in traffic, you're singing along to the song, we're listening to Bean have inane conversation with himself. All right. Now, first of all, I would like to say again for the record, you guys are picking on what is considered in most workplaces office conversation. This is what you do. You talk to your coworkers in between times where you're working and you say, hey, did you see the thing? But, or hey, what about that? Or hey, are you going to go do this? That's what people do.
Right. But those of us who don't have Asperger's can tell what the other person is interested in. For example, when I talked to Ralph today, I said, how are your Flyers doing?
Yes.
Yes. And we had a conversation about it.
Because hockey is, you know, there's 15, 16 games left. It's coming up to
only
the playoff
the top three teams.
I knew Ralph would be interested in that conversation.
I talk about sports stuff, too, just as much as you do.
That's that info bean.
Hi. By the way, I wrote these all down verbatim. I had a chicken pot pie for dinner last night.
How is that conversation?
That's that info bean.
Would even you, in your Asperger-y world, consider that a conversation?
We weren't
with
going around the room talking about what we had for dinner. Jeez. Nothing.
It was just the last time any of us told you what we had for dinner.
Who said beginning? Hey, when was the last time anybody here had a chicken pot pie? Anyone? What was that? Salvo.
Guys, perhaps the point is that we don't often think of chicken pot pies because it's more of something you associate with when you're a kid growing up.
So you had a goal with this conversation?
No. What I'm saying is I brought it up because I had a chicken pot pie and it was awesome. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to drop some of this new knowledge on my coworkers because maybe they might want to go back to the chicken pot pie.
No, that's not what you thought at all. No.
Thanks for that info, B.
You're just on the chicken pot pie awareness board.
I just found out that the Weather Channel got dropped.
That was big news, by the way.
Hold on. No one said anything. Bean continues. And that's the theme of this one. No one said anything. Bean continues. It's the latest in a dispute with DirecTV. Still no one said anything. So wouldn't you go, well, maybe the people I'm talking to aren't interested. You know how I feel about the weather.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Yeah, we know.
Well, this Weather Nation that they're using instead of DirecTV is a poor substitute, I'll tell you that.
I didn't even notice, and I have DirecTV.
Of course not,
never
Lisa,
noticed.
Because you have a life.
Yeah.
I got to get me a polar bear.
What?
See?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
God damn you. How dare you use that conversation with people defense.
I got to get me a polar bear was said out loud.
Because polar
Thanks
bears
that
are
info
amazing.
Bean.
Here is Bean talks. No one responds. Bean continues. I read a book last night about Tammy Wynette. No one said anything. It's fascinating. Nothing. I found out about it because it's the same author that wrote the Neil Young book. Nothing. And I thought, what else did he write? No one. And I found out he wrote the book on Tammy Wynette. Nothing. It's really good.
Thanks for that info, Bean. Oh.
Now, when a conversation goes on for 3 minutes and there's no response.
When you're five statements in.
Don't even you realize no one cares?
I just assumed you guys were out of the room. I guess I didn't know.
Wait a minute. So, if you assumed we were out of the room, you said I'm going to continue having a conversation with no one that is circulating?
No. What I mean is five sentences in, when I didn't hear anything, I thought, oh, they must be out of the room.
It can't possibly be that they're not interested in a book about Tammy Wynette.
I would find that very difficult to believe, first of all, because she's Stand By Your Man. Come on.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
And here's another Bean talks and no one responds. And this is a long one. This is really spectacular. And he starts it with the kind of sentence that drives us crazy because it's a question and it begs for somebody to say, okay, what are you talking
about?
Right, I'll bite.
Now what am I supposed to do?
Oh, okay.
That's the worst.
Yeah, just put it out there.
No one said anything. It's National Pancake Day. And Tuesday is my IHOP day. This happened to be on a Tuesday. No one said anything. Is it going to be worth it for me to go, or will it be all crowded? And no one said anything for about 30 seconds this time. Then he continues. Last year, my birthday fell on a Thursday. And Thursdays are my Denny's days. Nothing. I was able to get a free Grand Slam at Denny's for my birthday. Nobody was responding to him for the whole thing.
What do you mean?
You make
make it sound dumb when you read it like that.
That's that info bean.
We're trying to go on and cheer everybody up and do our normal peppy show, but it's a little tough. We got a heavy burden that we're working under here this morning, and that's the news that Ralph broke a few minutes ago in the showbiz that Creaky is dead. The world's oldest clown, Floyd Creaky Creekmore, passed away this past weekend. He was 98.
Not much of a nickname, is it?
His last name is Creekmore.
Well,
so they call him Creaky.
Creaky. And I'm sure the older he got, the more appropriate that nickname seemed. But he was 98, and he will no longer wear the clown makeup. So he is, I'm sorry to say, Creaky is gone. And I feel terrible for the people who are hearing about it for the first time from us.
Yeah, you don't want to be the people to break that news.
You don't want to be the people to break the news. Exactly, right? I want people to find that out privately so they can mourn and process in their own way. But there is good news, and that's that the world keeps spinning, Kevin. And there is a new world's oldest clown. And we are excited to welcome Britches the Clown, who was the second oldest clown in the world, and I think, if I'm doing the math correctly, is now the oldest clown in the world. Is that right, Britches?
Hello.
Hi, how are you today, Britches?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Are you the new oldest clown in the world?
I believe so, yes. I think I'm the oldest clown in the world now.
All right, so Creaky,
are you? Would it be safe to say you're happy that Creaky went away? So now you have the title.
No, okay. Creaky and I were buddies.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He was one of my best friends.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I loved Creaky.
Okay, well he was 98. If you don't mind me asking, Britches, how old are you, sir?
I'm 96 years old.
96. Okay.
And I'm still clowning.
You okay?
Yeah.
Were you laughing?
Yeah, I was laughing.
Oh, okay. That was laughing. Now, I'm sorry. I thought it hurt.
How many gigs a year would you say you do now?
I do about 3 a week.
3 a week?
Wow. Yep.
What?
Yep.
That's quite a work ethic. What kinds of tricks are you still able to do at 96 years old?
I still do all the clowning tricks I ever did.
Okay, you make balloon animals?
Well, yeah, but I also juggle bowling pins.
Juggle bowling pins?
Wow, that's impressive at your age.
Here I go.
What happened, Britches?
I picked those up.
Oh, no, so that didn't go so well.
Oh, I hope I don't slip and fall. This is such a slippery place. Ow!
Ow. Oh, no.
Are you okay?
Ow.
Dude, you just
break a hip.
Britches, you got to hang on. You want this title for a little while.
I'm going to throw a pie in your face. Let me just some whipped cream.
We're on the phone, Britches, if that matters.
Hold on.
Okay.
Making a pie.
Okay. A lot
sure
of
takes
cream.
A while to get going, huh?
Well, his knuckles hard to press.
Right.
Make some whipped cream pie.
All right. Well, maybe we come back to that.
I'll get to it.
All right.
Boy.
We don't want to rush you. We are under sort of a time crunch.
Well, here. I'll get back to that.
All right. Okay. I think
hey, you want
good.
A balloon animal?
Yeah, absolutely. What can you make?
Hey, you want a balloon animal?
Yeah, do you have a specialty?
We said yes.
Hello?
Britches, you okay?
What's your best?
Hey, you want a balloon animal?
Yes, we do. What is your specialty?
Oh, I can make anything you want.
All right, I'd like an octopus, please.
All right. Let me just blow up the balloon.
Right. Oh, Kevin, you're going to kill the poor man here.
Wait, how? Wait,
it's almost blown up.
No,
Britches. Blow up a balloon?
Oh, hold on.
Britches, the balloon's in the wrong end.
I'm getting it blown up. Hold on a second.
Come on.
Wow. When that balloon pops, all hell will break loose.
Just kind of put off my appetite for the cake, I'll tell you that.
Yes, bitches.
You okay? Instead of an octopus, how about a snake that's eating a rat?
I think autumn starts. Is it tonight, you guys? Is tonight when fall begins? Tomorrow's the first full day of fall, which means that Halloween is right around the corner, and K-Rock is giving away tickets to Mickey's Halloween Party at the Disneyland Resort. We've got those for you on this morning's program. Give you a couple chances to win. Plus, you go to krock.com for more info and another chance to win as well. It's 7:07.
You guys ever think we'll get to the part to a place where they don't have to make announcements before a movie that you should turn your phone off?
Never happened.
No, I think we're getting further away from that time.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to have to be announced during the film. They're going to have to stop the film and put up a little slide and say, hey, a-hole, turn off your phone.
Because they usually have like some kind of animated thing up there. And they go, turn off your phone.
Not enough.
Don't disturb other people. I always think, who are the people that don't get that?
More and more every day.
I'm at the Maze Runner this weekend, and the guy next to me gets a call. And we're going to play a new game. I'm going to give you guys $100 of my own money.
If
you can guess the embarrassing ringtone.
Oh, wow.
So not only did the guy have the phone on, it rang during the movie. Mm. Now, this is the important part. Took the phone out of his pocket.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. And looked at the screen, and it continued to keep ringing.
He didn't even
silence the ring just to look at who it was. He let the theme keep playing, his ringtone.
Oh, no.
Yes.
By the way,
the embarrassing ringtone.
Did you give him the stink eye, I hope, appropriately?
I was fascinated.
Helped him with popcorn?
I was fascinated by the fact that he wasn't silencing it.
Like there was no panic. Oh, my God.
I couldn't get my head around the fact, well, A, that this was his ringtone, and B, that he didn't silence it at least and then look at it and consider what he wanted to do. Should he leave? Should he answer?
He was just acting like he was sitting in his own living room and
got
a call.
Yes. And after it rang like three times, I just finally said, you going to get that? I didn't know what else to say.
Good for you.
But yes, the embarrassing ringtone.
Did he apologize? Was he embarrassed?
Nope.
Did he?
Not a bit.
No.
Not a bit.
Yeah. Was he alone?
He looked at me like I was a dick. He was alone.
Of course. Yeah. You're the dick.
He looked at me like I was a complete dick for saying something.
Strike me as a loner thing.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a hint because this is $100 of my own money. I don't really want you to win it.
Well, then don't give us a hint. That's
all right,
dumb.
I'm not going to give you a hint. It is a song that you all know.
All right.
You're all completely familiar with.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
It's a song. It's a song.
Yes. Okay. And obviously it's something that you wouldn't guess would be a ringtone because it was the guy's ringtone. And
right.
This is
guess the embarrassing ringtone.
It's
a song. It's not like a video game.
Nope.
It's actually a song that was played on the radio. A hit record?
Yep.
Okay. A hit record.
Give each one guess.
One guess for $100.
I'll throw it out there.
Okay. All right, and then I'm going to give you another clue, and I'll cut it down to 50.
Oh, this is a great idea. We'll get diminishing returns on the cash value of the prize as we go along.
Guess the embarrassing ringtone.
I love this game. I want to play this game every week.
All right,
I think Mark Burnett should make this a TV series.
Look, you're not giving us a lot to go on.
I'm not.
Embarrassing ringtone one song. So I'm just going to throw the first one that came to mind, which I think would be embarrassing in 2014, if your ringtone were Mambo No. 5 by Lou Bega.
Good guess.
Good guess.
That is incorrect, sir.
Incorrect.
Okay. Incorrect. Okay.
All right. I would like to take the next guess, please.
All right. Ralph, your guess?
I would say the embarrassing ringtone would be Who Let the Dogs Out?
Another good guess. You're all pretty good.
We're circling.
These are pretty good guesses. I'm afraid for my $100.
Lisa, your
turn. Took my guess.
There may be other songs.
Well, none in my head. So I'll say The Way We Were.
Jesus. Can we have Lisa not on the game show?
Should Lisa have to pay me?
Yes, she should.
Yeah, really.
That's the rules. I do
from
not
1974
have to pay
is Lisa's guess.
See, that would be embarrassing.
Let's go to
would it not?
Wayne has a guess.
No, what else was it? Tootsie Goodbye by Rudy Valley. Okay.
Hey, Wayne, you have a guess?
Yes, it's Call Me Maybe.
Guess the embarrassing ringtone. Call Me Maybe. I will give you a clue in that's too new.
Too new.
Okay.
So we weren't as off as Lisa, not that far back, but more like what Bean and I were thinking.
It's
that sort of realm.
It's not possible to be off as far as Lisa. Okay.
There's way we were.
There's no shame in Call Me Baby being your ringtone, by the way.
Yeah,
no
well, there should
really?
Be.
Do you have something to tell us?
We don't go to Bean for shame.
Yeah, right.
All right. Here's the thing. You have a ringtone. Maybe you like it. But when you're with other people and your ringtone goes off, sometimes it's very different depending on what group you're with.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes you're embarrassed by it. This person should be embarrassed all the time.
Okay.
All right. Are we out of...
You're going to give us a clue,
okay.
right?
Another clue.
For $50.
As far as I'm concerned, and you know my memory.
Yes.
I believe this was a one-hit wonder.
One-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Okay.
That helps me not at all.
$50. So the way we were.
So Streisand's out, Lisa.
Streisand's out.
All right.
Put away.
All right. Yes.
Do we go back around?
The embarrassing ringtone.
Okay, yes. Do I guess again?
Yep.
I guess again. Okay. Oh, man.
And he let it ring and ring and ring and ring. Hmm.
I don't think this is going to be it, but just in the parameters that you've described, I'll say the Macarena.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
No.
Okay. Another good guess, though.
I'm going to go. Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves.
I actually like that song.
But it was a one-hit wonder.
It was a one-hit wonder.
And it would be an odd ringtone.
It's an odd ringtone, and it's in different situations, it's pretty awkward.
Yeah.
Right. Achy Breaky Heart.
Achy Breaky Heart.
Great guess, Lisa. Yeah. Great guess.
Correct.
You want to take a couple of quick calls, too?
Yeah, sure.
Got some good ones. People calling in. Let's go to Chuck on line 4. He's in Chatsworth. He's got an excellent guess that's right up your alley.
Because I can promise Chuck money and then not ever pay him.
That's true.
Because he's not here. Hey, Chuck.
Good morning, party people. You better pay me, Kevin.
All right, what's your guess?
It's the Vida Loca by Ricky Martin.
Oh, good guess.
Ricky Martin was not a one-hit wonder, however.
But for most people, that's the song people know.
She
know,
bangs.
How about, is that your guess? How about Carl, line 5 in Hemet?
Carl, line 5.
Hi, Carl.
Good morning, party people. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Guess the embarrassing ringtone.
I'm going to say Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back.
Not bad.
No, that's not bad either.
By the way, that
I wouldn't be embarrassed.
That's better than his ringtone.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, though. Line 7, Rudy Van Nuys. Line 7.
Hey, morning, guys.
Then we need to go.
What about Milkshake from Fleet?
Oh, sweet. That's a good guess.
Milkshake.
But no. All right, I'm going to play it for you. And you're all gonna get
another run at 25?
I get
another clue.
We're sort of running late.
I don't care. I want some money.
Patrick is the next one.
I want some money. This was
the ringtone.
This is what the ringtone. This was coming out of the guy's
phone.
Was
it that timpani? Was that timpani the ringtone?
Timpani was not the ringtone, no. It was during the maze run, right during a very important part.
Yes.
All right. And his phone rang and he pulled it out and this is what I heard.
Oh,
okay, so now the phone's out.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. And he's looking at it.
Oh, man. And it's
letting it ring.
It's going.
Don't.
And it's going.
Effing worry. Be happy.
That's, look, there weren't,
that happened.
There weren't cell phone ringtones when that song was out in the late 80s. So that means at some point well after that song being popular, he made the choice, hey, I'm going to put that on my phone.
So this was my experience in the theater.
We gotta get out of here.
Run, Tom! We're gonna get trapped! And again, like, I was looking at him like, seriously, silence it. And then handle your business. I mean, first of all, you got your phone out in the theater, so it's distracting.
Glowing.
But then...
Fantastic.
Cartoon death, right?
Yeah.
It's murder the way we were, though.
Okay. Murder button.
Don't Worry, Be Happy is excellent advice for the people in the maze, however.
That's true. That's a good point.